Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I got a question for you. How many of you saw a show? It's no longer on, but it was called Super Nanny. Anybody remember seeing Super Nanny? I see a couple of you. It ran from 2005 to 2012 approximately. And the show Super Nanny involved this family. It was a family with kids that were out of control. They were just running all around, throwing things, hitting, cursing. They were a mess, lacking discipline. Then Super Nanny, played by a woman named Jo, maybe short for Josephine, Jo Frost, with her British accent, would come in and she would assess the situation, and then she would help train the children and bring discipline to the household. Discipline. It's something that is so important, something that we need, but not something that we all necessarily want, right? Well, our lesson from Hebrews chapter 12 talks about discipline today. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives." The author of the Hebrews is quoting from the book of Proverbs. And remember, Solomon is giving wisdom to his child, speaking about wisdom. And one of the ways that we learn discipline is being willing to receive discipline. Now, what do we mean when we talk about discipline? Often when we think about discipline, we might think of something like being sent to the corner, or back in the 1980s, the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge. That's what I experienced growing up sometimes, and it made an impression on my rear and my mind. Sometimes that's not much fun, is it? Neither to receive nor to give. But discipline is broader than merely the carrying out of some kind of punishment for a child doing something wrong. The word that is used in the book of Hebrews is the Greek word paideion. Paideion. Maybe that you think of the word also pedagogue or pedagogy. Paideion has to do with the instruction of children. When you're a teacher, you have pedagogy. You are a pedagogue. You are teaching a child, training them in the way of the Lord. That includes what we might consider punishment, quote unquote, but also the instruction, preparing a child, guiding them along the pathway. Discipline. The writer to the Hebrews, who we actually don't know who that is, it might have been the Apostle Paul, maybe Barnabas, maybe Apollos, we don't know who it was, but the author of the Hebrews is writing to a group of people who is experiencing a type of discipline. And it's rather uncomfortable. And this type of discipline is in the form of persecution. Earlier, the writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 10, he says, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." From what we gather, the people that were receiving the letter to the Hebrews were very likely Jewish Christians who were under persecution, possibly by those who were rejecting Jesus as the Messiah, and possibly, some have surmised, by the hand of Nero, one of the naughty emperors who was not nice to the Christians. They were experiencing this discipline, this suffering. Sometimes God can do that. He allows certain things into our lives that we would learn discipline. Now for us, we don't necessarily experience persecution in the way that the people that were hearing the book of Hebrews received persecution. We still have the freedom to be able to read the word, to gather together, to study. But our brothers and sisters around the world, there are some who are experiencing this persecution, and it's a difficult time for them, and it's a struggle. How else might God use certain circumstances for discipline? What other circumstances might he allow? Well, sometimes it might be in the form of a natural disaster, a flood or a fire, a hurricane, a tsunami that wipes out our assets, our livelihood. It might be a tragedy that comes into our lives, the loss of a loved one, a difficult situation, something that might make us rather uncomfortable, and it might be a very difficult time for us. Maybe you're experiencing a time like that, or you have recently. Now here's the mystery, that God would allow certain things to happen to us. Now, on the one hand, let's be honest. When we do stupid things, there are consequences, right? Okay, sure. But there are times when things happen in our lives, consequences, things that happen, and we don't understand why. We look at the book of Job, right? And Job's friends are trying to rationalize why Job is experiencing what he's going through, and yet it remains a mystery to them. And here's the mystery, that God would allow the suffering into our lives. We know that there's sin in the world. We know that we live in a broken world, but still there is that burning question as to why sometimes. But it appears, according to the author of Hebrews, that sometimes these circumstances that God allows are used for his plans and purposes, for your discipline, for my discipline. Maybe you ask the question during these tragedies, during these struggles, during these difficult times, is God angry with me? Does God hate me? Am I under a curse of God? No. Because you see, your Savior Jesus Christ already took the wrath of God upon the cross for your sins. As Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So as you are experiencing tragedies, difficulties, and struggles in your life, know this, that Jesus Christ has already taken the wrath of God upon himself for your sins. It does remain a mystery why these difficult things happen, but know this, that Christ has taken away your sin. The author of the Hebrews points out that God actually disciplines you and me, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says this, it is for discipline that you have come to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. He disciplines out of love. Have you ever heard the phrase, a parent talking to the child who is about to be disciplined, and the parent says, this is hurting me more than it hurts you. This is hurting me more than it hurts you. But God would allow, in his love, you and me to be disciplined because he cares too much about you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8 says, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Actually, a lack of discipline isn't very loving, is it? I mentioned the show Supernanny, right? What happened before Supernanny came in? The household was a disaster. The kids were punching and hitting their parents, screaming, cussing, raising terror. Let me ask you a question. What happens when little children who don't have discipline begin growing up? Well, if they still don't have discipline, they are able to punch harder and kick stronger, swear even more, and pretty soon, children grown up end up in prison. Is that loving to not allow discipline and then allow the child to end up in prison or to destroy someone else's life? No, that's not loving at all. Now, I want to point out that there are times when, as parents discipline their children still turn away. So don't feel guilty if perhaps you've experienced that. There are times when you can do your best and you can discipline your child and they will still turn away. But the point here is that a lack of discipline isn't loving. It's actually harmful to the child. But God in His love would allow you and me to be disciplined. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus is speaking to one of the churches, the church in Laodicea, who had become lukewarm. And he says this, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent." God loves you too much to leave you to your own devices. Remember last week when we talked about the Hall of Fame, the spiritual Olympians? We talked about one of those, and that included David. David got himself into a big situation with the adulterous situation with Bathsheba. God could have let him continue on that path of destruction, couldn't he? But remember what happened to David. God, in his love, sent the prophet Nathan to come to David to actually point out that David was on the wrong path and had the guts to tell him that he was wrong. God loved David too much to allow him to continue on the road to destruction and miss out on life, missing out. God loves you too much to leave you to your own devices. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant." You remember those moments of discipline? I think sometimes as I grew a little bit older and I was still sometimes receiving a spanking, I remember that it wasn't so much the sting on my rear that hurt so much. It was actually the embarrassment of being spanked. That was not comfortable. It was not comfortable. If you've been in the military and you have a drill instructor who's telling you to go do your push-ups and do stuff, that's not comfortable. But in the end, as you are disciplined, you grow and you're made stronger. As a child is disciplined, they are put on the right path. Discipline can be painful and unpleasant. And the question is, how do we respond to discipline? I think if we think that God is out to get us, we're not going to respond very well to discipline, are we? But if we remember that it is out of love that God is disciplining us, then perhaps we can take a step back and realize that this is for our good. Hebrews chapter 12, 11, "For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained for it." It's not just arbitrary discipline, but it's discipline for a purpose, that you and I would be trained and produce the fruit of righteousness. Using a gardening analogy for a moment, those of you that have fruit trees in your backyard have perhaps done some pruning. And Luke recently did some pruning on the grapes. And before the different harvests, you do some pruning. And why do you prune? Just for fun? No. The pruning process is so that the plant can produce a good crop. And that means cutting off some of the dead, weak branches so that the strong ones would grow and produce the fruit. And God, in His discipline, does some pruning, and ow, that hurts. But in the end, it produces the fruit of righteousness. As you and I are no longer living in our own strength, as we realize that we are weak in and of ourselves, but in His strength we are strong, as the Holy Spirit produces those fruits of the Spirit in you, this is a blessing to you and to others. Romans chapter 5 says this, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." I've mentioned this before in the sermon, but I like to call it the gym of the Holy Spirit concept. And in this concept, we have the Holy Spirit teaching and training us through the Word. Martin Luther had this, and he referred to three things: prayer, meditation upon the Word, and suffering, or in the German, Anfechtung. Sounds like suffering, right? Anfechtung. But this cycle of prayer, of study in the Word, and suffering produces something good in us. For what happens as we study the Word and we wrestle with the Scriptures, we may find something in the Scriptures that we don't understand, or something that irks us, or something that that calls us to account. Then we experience suffering. We experience struggle with the text or with things in the world, which drives us to pray, which drives us in our weakness to the One who is strong. And then from there, He in His Word strengthen us, and we continue to grow. I've mentioned her before, but any of you remember Johnny Erickson Tada? Yeah? Johnny Erickson Tada, for those of you that don't know or don't remember, was a woman who at the age of 17 was swimming with her friends and dove off a dock into some shallow water and broke her neck. And at 17, she became a quadriplegic. There was a period of her life where she wanted to die, and if she could have committed suicide, she would have committed suicide. But the Lord worked through some of her friends and the Scriptures, and there was a transformation in Johnny's life. There was a point where before this, or after this, she said these words, "God, if I can't die, please show me how to live, because I don't like paralysis. This isn't what I bargained for. Show me how to live." And the Lord did show her how to live, and she's gone on to be a wonderful blessing to many people. And in an interview that she had with Larry King, of all people, she says these words, "The weaker I became, the harder I had to lean on Him," that is God, "but the harder I leaned on Him, the stronger I discovered Him to be." The stronger I discovered Him to be. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." We can trust our Heavenly Father that He's strong. He's loving. We look to the cross to know this. So for now, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.